The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
At one point, I finally said, Free, can you finish this after you put on some shorts?
She ate breakfast naked?
She didn't even want a nap?
I've had bedroom naked. I've had walk to the bathroom naked. I have never had living room naked.
Oh, it's a scene.
It's like you're living in the Playboy Mansion.
So, nakedivity, or whatever the word is different to us.
So she coughed.
Coughing? Naked? It's a turnoff, man.
Everything goes with naked.
When you cough, there are thousands of unseen muscles that suddenly spring into action. It's like watching that fat guy catch a cannonball in his stomach in slow motion.
Nakedness?
Jason,
are you looking for nakedness?
I guess.
I kind of like nakedivity better.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make it plan.
The WNBA draft was on Monday. And I wonder how long the momentum from this past season of women's college basketball will last. I know this, guys. Sitting around yesterday with my husband talking about how I want to get the girls to a Chicago Sky game. And if you're going to go to a Chicago Sky game this year, which one would you want? Like, if you had to power rank the Chicago Sky opponents this year, Gabe, what would you put as number one on your power rankings of Chicago Sky basketball games?
Who are the Indiana Fever?
Who are the Indiana Fever? That game is June 23rd at Wintrust Arena. I didn't even know that the Sky played at Wintrust Arena.
How many teams could you name, Gabe?
Oh, Gabe could probably name a lot of them.
Okay, so you've got the Aces, you've got the Connecticut Sun, Liberty, Sparks. Who am I missing? Well, the Sky and the Fever, obviously. Seattle Storm.
Uh-huh.
Who else? What's the name of the Dallas team where Arike plays?
It's a good question. Not sure.
You really like sports. Holy smokes.
Minnesota. They've got a team, the Minnesota Lynx. Uh-huh. Like when they first started, my mom took my sisters up to watch them play. Phoenix has a team.
Is that pretty good at you? He could keep going.
No,
probably.
That's really good.
He's gonna bug me now. What's the name of that Dallas team? Because I've got a pair of Arikes too, and I can't remember the name of the team she plays
for. The Mystics and the Wings are teams that maybe you missed. The Mercury,
Wings, Dallas. That's the Wings
and the Mercury.
Okay.
I think
Phoenix.
That's all of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So tickets for the Chicago Sky versus the Indiana Fever on June 23rd. First of all, completely sold out. On the first market. Secondary market, well, right now, as you're trying to capitalize on the excitement of the WNBA draft on Monday night.
Are they priced to move?
They are not priced to move. I mean, maybe. Anywhere from $500 to $1,200 for a ticket to the Chicago Sky versus the Indiana Fever. And so it felt like, well, you're going to drop that much. Maybe you just see about a suite. Maybe you just see like, hey, what would it cost to buy a suite at Wintrust Arena for that game and start loading it up with your people, loading it up with people who also are interested in the WNBA and again, want to capitalize or get on board this this ride that the women's basketball has taken us all on this year. So I was talking to some movers and some shakers, some people with deep pockets, and I was saying, hey, what do we think about this? What if we put a field trip together? We maybe, you know, make it a thing. We angle towards it and whatnot. And this person said to me, wouldn't it be easier to just get a team in Milwaukee?
It only costs $500 to get a team in Milwaukee?
I mean, I'm sure it costs a little more than that, but the WNBA is trying to expand. And I believe there are at least four teams, or four locations, rather, that have been mentioned as potential expansion locations for the WNBA. Gabe, what were those spots?
So there's five that have been mentioned. A 13th team is going to be added by 2025. They want to maybe get to 16 by 28. San Francisco getting that 13th team next season, and they are looking at Denver, Toronto, Nashville, South Florida, which I understand is more of a location than a city, and Philadelphia. Those are the five areas that they are looking at.
Why isn't Milwaukee on that list?
Because I don't think we could support one.
Really?
Yeah.
What makes you say that?
I think that you have, A, the Chicago team is close enough if you want to go down and check it out, and B, it's just the time of year that they're playing. I mean, the summer months, like, we have been cooped up. We will support the Bucks because, well, I mean, we're just inside anyway during most of the winter months. Let's go check out a Bucks game. And during the summer months, we want to be out and about. We want to go to a Brewers game with the roof open, outside tailgating. Like, the tailgate culture is almost as big as going to the game itself. Summerfest, German Fest, Irish Fest, Festa Italiana, all these different, you know, cultural festivals that they have at the fairgrounds, or not the fairground, speaking of the fairgrounds, also have State Fair. Like, all of the fun things that are happening in Milwaukee during the summer are outside, because we want to be outside. We've been cooped up inside during all the winter months, so we want to be outside doing stuff, not inside doing stuff.
What'd you say, Chu?
Play outside. What's the big deal?
Excuse me?
Play outside. There's got to be some kind of, I mean, play where the Dock Hounds are at, move it over to the place that's up north. You know, there's plenty of outdoor stadiums where you could put a basketball court there. I agree with you. I'm not going to anything indoors for the most part during the middle of summer. I don't think it would work, but if you did it outside, at least it'd have a fighting chance.
Basketball outside.
Yeah, exactly.
What's wrong with basketball outside?
Well, like, nothing. Pickup in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with playing basketball outside. You're practicing your free throws in the driveway. There's nothing wrong with basketball outside.
There's a reason they're not playing college basketball openers on the carriers anymore. They didn't want games ending 32-28. They decided that was a bad thing.
I thought it was entertaining. And you should have told them, hey, look, at some point in time, we're firing the guns off.
We're not going to tell you when. We're not going to tell you when.
Yeah.
Guys, at the free throw line, dribble, set, kaboom!
That makes it very entertaining, I'll tell you that. It's a little Savannah Bananas for me.
You're pump faking at the free throw line, not quite sure when that gun's going off.
Chu, if we don't do it inside, we're doing it in the evenings, right? You have a 5:30 game. You got a 7 o'clock game. Are you telling me they can't draw? Are you trying to tell me that there aren't people who would support a women's basketball team here in Milwaukee? Because I think that there is a lot of people who have been wrapped up in the excitement of this year, who have gotten on board, who want to see it. And hell, if I'm willing to take my money, my disposable income, and drive my ass down to Chicago, or wherever Wintrust is on the north side, I think at least, right? DePaul?
It's in DePaul. I don't know if DePaul's in the city proper. I don't want to get in trouble with anybody from Chicago who gets upset about the, you know, oh, you say you're from Chicago, but you're actually from one of the suburbs.
The particulars of where
DePaul
is.
My wife being one of those people.
Yeah, no. So why should I then take my money and put it into another economy? I think there are people who would support. Look, I know Leroy Butler has been behind this. I know that Burnell Hooker has been behind this. There are people who have tried, or at least tried to drum up interest and money to make a campaign to bring a women's basketball team to Milwaukee. And my question is, with the momentum that the league, the women's college basketball had this year, now's the perfect time. It's a strike while the iron is hot time, isn't it, Joshy?
I think so, but if you don't have a Caitlin Clark, what's the interest going to be?
Yeah,
because
I'm not watching.
The one thing I know about rich people is if there's a way to make money, they're going to do it. And they've considered it. And if the money was there and they thought the potential to earn money was there, I would think there would just be more push for it. You've certainly mentioned some, but where's all the movement? I didn't even know Leroy Butler and these people were getting behind it. So obviously it hasn't taken much ground. It hasn't gotten much steam. But maybe now is the right time to hit. I don't know.
And that was because their campaign was pre-2023-2024 women's college basketball mania.
Right.
You know, what was the number for the draft the other night? Did I see like 2.44 million people tuned in?
I think it was in the 3 millions.
So, I mean, we're talking about unprecedented numbers now. If there are people who are interested in the WNBA, and look, I know that there are, right? My son is in high school. I sit at every baseball game with parents whose daughters play high school basketball, who play club basketball, the Joe Chapmans of the world, the Travis Deaners of the world, who are coaching girls basketball teams at a very high level locally. I know that there is interest. I know there are people who would be behind it as well. The question is, are there enough? And would they be willing to put their wallets where their interest is and support a team, bringing a team to Milwaukee? And then the continued support, right? Because you can create a really incredible environment at those games, right? It's what the Bucks have done at Pfizer Forum. It's why I told you that the other night when I was there for the Celtics game, it was absolutely electric. Like, we have the blueprint for it.
Yeah,
but are you playing at the Mecca? Because I don't think you can play at Pfizer. Maybe eventually you grow to that, but like the most popular teams don't play in NBA arenas.
The draw of Caitlin Clark is that she played in Middle America for a team that was going nowhere without her. She was carrying that team. If she played at LSU or UConn or South Carolina, the draw wouldn't have been as big. That was the draw. It's like, look at this girl. She's carrying this team. That's not going to happen in the WNBA.
I mean, we're going to see what happens this year. It's going to be fascinating. I think they've got a couple of things working for them. Like, the fact that the WNBA season starts in like a month with regular season games, that's
striking. Yeah, but you could bring professional tennis here, and there's still going to be a part of people that are going to go and watch that. You have to get outside the box. Like golf, Gabe. How bad are the ratings going to drop in golf this week?
Oh, I mean, they're going to be...
They were bad for the Masters.
Yeah, they're great for the Masters. Yeah, they're going down, yeah.
But yeah, because people want to be outside. That was the draw of Caitlin Clark, is that, this girl, it must be... Well, I don't want to disparage, but, you know, I've done that before. Iowa without Caitlin Clark is going nowhere.
Yeah, but, I mean, the draws are there for the WNBA and hurt you. Like Jen said, I mean... $500 a pop to go to a Chicago Sky game. When they play the Las Vegas Aces, who are probably the most popular team in the WNBA, they do great in Vegas. They're going from a 12,000-seat arena to an 18,000-seat arena, and they've sold it out. Well, like, so the draw for Caitlin Clark continues in the WNBA. But to Josh's point, like, I think in order for an expansion franchise here to hit, you would have to have...
A Caitlin Clark.
You would have to have a big star...
Sure.
That would drive the interest, especially early, because there are so many things going on in Milwaukee during the summer months. So many different things.
But
people want to go and do.
Yeah, I agree with Joshy. You know, people, entrepreneurs, are not putting money into a business where you go into it at the top end and then it descends from there.
Unless you think that it can continue to grow. Unless you think that this past year was a flashpoint in the sport and that people were just not understanding or not aware of. I don't think it was probably ignorance, right? It wasn't just like obtuseness. I think it was ignorance to how exciting it was, how high level the talent is. I mean, you mentioned Arika Ogunbowale, right? Like, she's a bona fide star in the WNBA. Didn't she throw out the first pitch recently at a Brewers game or something like that? Like, and she's a local girl. So like, there are pathways, there are connections where Milwaukee has people in the league that it can root for as well, and that maybe draw when those teams come to town. But there are really good teams. We're talking about the Indiana Fever specifically and the Chicago Sky. Chicago Sky proximity, Fever because of Caitlin Clark. But the LA Sparks are a very, very good team. The Aces, as you mentioned, are a very good team. Like, there is, and right now, the WNBA has more talent than they have teams, which is why they are pushing expansion. I don't know, guys. I feel like yesterday was a moment for me where I was like, is this where I should be putting more of my attention? Is this where I should be putting more of my capital? Is this something that I should be investing in to try to get a WNBA team here in Milwaukee? Because I think that the interest is there. I think it's bubbling underground. I think you're going to see a lot of people from this area who are going to become Chicago Sky fans because that's their closest option. And I don't know. It feels like an opportunity.
How many fans do you think you need to draw per game?
10? 12?
Just for a reference point, the Marquette women's team averaged 2,500 per game this year.
Okay.
So, I mean, again, that's it's a big bump to try to get to 10. I mean, 10 to 12 would probably put you in the upper echelon of the WNBA because that's about the size of most of the arenas in which they play in. As I mentioned, the Ace is going from like a 12,000 to an 18 for Vegas. So we're playing in the Mecca? Is that what we're doing?
Something like that, yeah.
Is that good enough?
What do you mean, from a facility standpoint?
From a facility standpoint.
I don't know. I haven't walked through and done a site check.
But that's what I'm saying. So then there's even more capital that goes into, okay, if we're going to do this, do we do it right? Do we upgrade some of the different facilities within the Mecca? What do we do there? Just because, again, most of these WNBA teams don't play in NBA arenas. Like, I think you want to play in a smaller arena, especially even if it's only 8,000 people and it feels more packed and you have that high energy, because 8,000 people in the Mecca, or excuse me, the UWM Panther Arena, is better than having 8,000 people inside Fiserv. If you only have 8,000 inside of Fiserv, it's going to feel dead.
800-990-3776. Could Milwaukee support a WNBA team? Would you support a WNBA team in Milwaukee? Because yesterday, I think I saw on one of our social media platforms, somebody, I think it was KBN, asking, is Milwaukee a good sports town? Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I saw it on social media. Is Milwaukee a good sports town? Is Milwaukee a good sports town? Is Milwaukee a great sports town? Where would you rank Milwaukee as far as sports towns go?
Yeah, I think I would put us in the upper third. I mean, I think people go out and support the Brewers. They didn't really support the Bucks when they were bad, but also when a team only wins like 16 games in a season, it's hard to throw your support behind them. But I think Milwaukee is a pretty good sports town. But again, the problem is with Milwaukee. And I feel like this always comes up every time we talk about, can Milwaukee support a hockey franchise? Can this come here? The lake is a huge issue because a lot of other cities can draw from 360 degrees around the city. The population ends once you hit the lake. We don't have, you know, people. We don't have an Atlantis underneath Lake Michigan where people are coming out.
Put a pool in the arena for the mer people to also attend the WNBA games.
We are very inclusive.
Equal opportunity program, but here, the Milwaukee WNBA.
But that always becomes an issue where you just, you know, having the lake there, well, great, and has opened up great opportunities and things to do during the summer. From a population standpoint, it makes it harder to draw that many people more than the sports that we already have.
All right, lots of reaction rolling in. We'll get to some of your reaction as the morning goes on. Can Milwaukee, could Milwaukee, would you support a WNBA team in Milwaukee? Because the WNBA is expanding. That is going to happen. They are adding teams. They have too much talent for the teams right now. And Milwaukee's not on the list. Should they be? 800-990-3776. More from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What operating system does a Chewy computer run on?
I believe it's a Cat 14.
It's a COS. It's a Chewy operating system.
I was thinking Windows 98.
Yeah, I mean, very similar.
It's dial-up. Let me get my modem.
Chewy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We're talking about whether or not Milwaukee could support a WNBA team as the WNBA is expanding. Gabe reminding us that they are going to San Francisco next season. And then the other cities. And look, the other cities are bigger than Milwaukee, right? Like you mentioned Denver, you mentioned Philly, South Florida, which, by the way, is just a region, is not a city. And, oh, by the way, they don't support their teams either, right? If you think it's tough to get people outside in Milwaukee in the summer, try South Florida. You know, like, they have a tough time getting butts in the seats down there, and yet South Florida is on the list, and there was one more place that I'm forgetting.
Two, Nashville and Toronto.
Two, I was forgetting. Nashville and Toronto. They're going to take it international. Is it already international? Is WNBA in Canada?
Not yet. Toronto would be the first.
The first. 800-990-3776, taking your reaction on this. Let's go out to Dan in Sheboygan. Dan, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Could Milwaukee support a WNBA team? Would you support a WNBA team in Milwaukee?
I think eventually Milwaukee could. But I think eventually once the league goes from like 18 to 20 or 20 to 22, not from 12 to 14. Demographically, if you look at Milwaukee and you look at the country, they're like an hour and a half from Chicago. There's other cities I think that can get filled in before Milwaukee. I think eventually it'll get to Milwaukee, but I don't think it'll be this round of expansion. I mean, I think down the line Milwaukee eventually could support a WNBA team. I think with this Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and this whole group of players coming in, I think more and more girls are going to want to gravitate towards college basketball, and you're going to have more and more talent. Maybe nothing quite like Caitlin Clark. I mean, we haven't seen that, maybe not another one of her for a while, but there's going to be more and more talent continuing to flood, and I think eventually the floodgates are going to open. And if the WNBA screws this up in the next 2 to 3 years, well, then you're just going to shut it down.
Thanks for the call, Dan. Appreciate that. 800-990-3776. Let's go out to Jason in Maguanago. Jason, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Would you support a WNBA team in Milwaukee?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. Yeah, I would absolutely support a team. You know, I think it'd be one of those phenomenal things that we could do here in Milwaukee. You know, if you're the first women's team. And it's a real great thing to see, you know, with all of our other teams in the state. This would be another thing that I would actually support. I mean, I support the rest, and this is something that I would love to see come to Milwaukee. And, you know, going to what Gabe was saying, that we don't have a 360-degree circumference around us, well, you could say the same thing about Chicago. And Chicago supports, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, how much bigger is the Chicago metropolitan area than Milwaukee?
And concentrated, too.
Yeah. Like, if Milwaukee were as big as Chicago, then it doesn't become an issue. But that's how you overcome it. I mean, Milwaukee is one of the smallest media markets, really, for any sport. When we're talking about the NBA or Major League Baseball, or even when it gets combined with Green Bay for the NFL, it's a small media market. It's not as concentrated with as many people as Chicago. Again, Chicago can do it because it's that damn big.
I like the idea of proof concept, like the first caller said. I do like maybe go to those bigger cities, see that there's the star power to support it. Because if Milwaukee lands a star and brings a team here, I have no doubt whatsoever. Oh, 100%. My question is, can the league and can the WNBA support a growth that big? So I think it's like, if they can prove they can do it and keep growing, yes, I'm all for it. I'm just a little weary about it.
If Milwaukee gets a team and the first pick in 2 years and they take Juju Watkins,
right?
Yeah, we got a chance, baby. We got a chance.
And that's the thing I would say, guys, is watching the women's college basketball, some of the season, and then, of course, the tournament where there was so much excitement surrounding Caitlin Clark and some of the other teams as well. There are stars on all these teams. Like, that was what was so cool about Monday night. It was like, bang, star, bang, star, bang, star. I mean, it was one after another after another. And the Chicago Sky, by the way, happened to have gotten two of them in Angel Reese and Cardoza. So, like, that's why Chicago right now is flying real high. The Fever may have gotten Caitlin Clark, but there are many, many stars. You just mentioned Juju, who obviously is a little bit younger, and it's going to take some time before she gets to the league. But, like, each team has stars. And so it's then taking those stars at the collegiate level and each of them landing on a different WNBA team. I think that's going to continue to gain momentum. I think it's a snowball rolling downhill right now.
Yeah, I think that Milwaukee's not even on this list, right? So if they want to get to 16 teams by 2028 and they're not even on this list.
Did they raise their hand? Right? Squeaky wheel and stuff. Obviously, like I said, we knew that there was a little bit of a campaign prior to this season.
Sure.
Where they were saying the city could support it. We need to try to gather donors. We need to see, you know, who would be interested in being a part of that launch team. But that was prior to this. You got to think now that there would be even more interest from people coming out of the woodworks who want to be a part of it.
Yeah, but at this point, what would you have to do to put one together to get your name on this list and get ahead of some of these cities? That's the issue, right? So now we're not looking at something here until 2030. I mean, are they going to be able to sustain this momentum by then? And that's where the proof of concept comes in. If they are, great. Then Milwaukee will probably get one. Because we're not even on this list yet, I have a hard time picturing us getting one before 2030.
Ronnie weighing in saying, I'm all for Milwaukee getting a WNBA team as long as the taxpayers aren't on the hook if it ends up going sideways. There are a ton of comments rolling in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Go ahead and get us yours. We got to take a break. We've got Adam Schefter coming up next. He's going to preview the NFL draft, tell you about what's been going on, and we still have to get to the Green Bay Packers this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone.
Adam, yeah, some more
Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL Insider Adam Schefter.
The Bears look dead. The Vikings look dead. And so the division comes down to Detroit and Green Bay.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
Have you been out to the Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin's ASAP clinic yet? First of all, I hope you haven't. I hope you haven't had anything like a laceration or a dislocation or a sprain or a strain or a fracture or something like that. But if you have, these are the places to go. They have locations in Brookfield and Maguanago and Pewaukee, and they are faster and easier and less expensive than the ER or urgent care. Did you hear what I just said? Faster, easier, and less expensive than the ER or urgent care. That's why you need to check out our friends over at Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin's ASAP clinic. All of the physicians are fellowship trained in specialty orthopedics. They are board certified and they are board eligible. They have advanced training in their respective fields. And the people I have talked to that have actually gone out to the Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin ASAP clinics say it really works. And it took the load off of whatever it was that they were dealing with. There is physical therapy, MRI, and outpatient surgical procedures as well. There is a difference when you go to Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin's ASAP clinics. We are efforting Adam Schefter this morning, who is going to join us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, as he does each and every Wednesday. And Gabe, I imagine Adam has been pretty locked into the draft lately based on his social media activity.
He's getting ready. He's all fired up. He's getting ready to head to Detroit. I know they've been talking about what's going to happen at 3, Drake May, the Patriots, who's going to be moving up. And that's Adam's area of expertise, right? The teams that are going to be moving in the draft, that's the info he's got. And I mean, after the first two picks, things could get wild very early in the draft in 8 days. Hard to believe we're only 8 days away.
We haven't even picked your brain on that whole quarterback situation. Are you anticipating Drake May going top five?
I'm anticipating four quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4, which is stupid.
Wow.
I think the best player in the draft is probably Harrison from Ohio State. Because, you know, out of those four quarterbacks, just from recent history, not even recent history, just from history, two of them are going to stink. And you're going to lose out, and I think, on a Hall of Fame player. And that might be a little premature to say, but I think he is going to be a dominant player in the NFL. And, I mean, I don't know. I would take him, I think, if I had even two or three, I would probably grab him.
We now have Adam Schefter joining us this morning. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. How are we doing today?
How are your draft preps going?
You know, it's funny. This morning, again, you're trying to get through some work and do some things, and the phone keeps ringing, and it's various people around the league with various teams, and you're having conversations, and there's more and more stuff. And all I can tell you is that this stuff never goes as you think it will, and there's always little curveballs that come along and things that change, and it'll happen again this year. You'll see.
What a tease. Wait, Chewy just said, though, that he thinks that...
Jen, I'm just trying to drive ratings for ABC and ESPN next Thursday night.
We appreciate that. I'm sure there will be a lot of people tuning in as they're curious as to what the Packers are going to do. Chewy just said he wouldn't be surprised if it goes 1, 2, 3, 4 quarterbacks in this year's draft. Would that surprise you?
Well, I don't know that that's exactly how it's going to play. It might. Listen, here's the deal. We've got teams at 1, 2, 3 that want quarterbacks. We've got teams at 11, 12, 13 that need quarterbacks. You got the Giants at 6 in the middle that may or may not be going quarterback. Like, there's a lot of evidence that points to them going quarterback. And so that's 7 teams in the first 13 picks that have some type of quarterback question. Not to mention anybody else that feels like it loves one of these guys that wants to go get one of them. So does that mean 1, 2, 3, 4 or 1, 2, 3, 6 and 11? Does it, like, what does it mean? It means that there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks that go in the first half of this draft is what I would say is going to mean. Okay. So I don't know exactly how much, but it's going to be interesting.
Adam, there seems to be a lot of writers in Wisconsin that love Cooper DeJean out of Iowa and think he will wind up with the Packers. Will he make it to 25, or are they going to have to trade up to get him?
I don't know that he's going to make it to 25. It's going to be really close. Here's the thing. Again, what could be working in their favor? If it goes the way I think it's going to go, which is that all these teams want quarterbacks, that's going to push a couple of guys. If you get six quarterbacks in the top 20, 21 picks, roughly, now all of a sudden you're talking about an extra guy or two sliding down. And that could be the difference in Cooper DeJean making it to Green Bay or not, if that's the guy that they want. You know, obviously Packers fans want him, and that would be a popular pick. We'll see if it happens. But with every quarterback that goes, the chances of DeJean making it to you are that much greater.
Adam, you mentioned the Giants, and they're a fascinating case study for me because I think across the league, teams are more willing to give up on quarterbacks now than they maybe were in the past. I think of Josh Rosen when they moved, you know, the Cardinals moved on from him when they ended up drafting Kyler Murray. We see the Broncos just willing to eat an unbelievable amount of money to move on from Russell Wilson. Is that because the cap continues to go up and these teams are comfortable kind of eating some of that cap? And is that going to be a trend that continues going forward?
You know what I think it is? I think it's that, and it's a good question, and I would say this to you. It used to be that teams took quarterbacks and they stuck with them, and that was it, and they would ride it out for a while. I think when you saw the Rams, I think it was 2016, trade up for Jared Goff at 1, and the Eagles trade up for Carson Wentz at 2. Was that 2016? I think it was. It was the last time the Rams had a first-round draft pick. And subsequently, they both gave up hauls to move up to their spots to get those guys. And they both moved off them and won Super Bowls. Both teams. So when both teams show that you can give up the farm to get a quarterback, move off them, and still win, other teams, it gives other teams an out to say, oh, I know we drafted Josh Rosen. Oh, I know we drafted Sam Darnold. Oh, I know we drafted this particular quarterback, but we're moving on now, and we're going to try to win without him. And I think it's become a little bit more acceptable because teams have won doing it. And so when other teams have won doing it, it gives teams justification to go ahead and do it.
Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as he does each and every Wednesday throughout the year as we head into the NFL draft this weekend. All right, Adam. I was reading a fascinating article from our friends over at The Athletic. They were talking about how NFL teams know how they should draft based on the metrics, based on the research, based on academic papers that have said the more picks you have, the more bites at the apple, if you will, the better chance you have of landing players who will help your team have success. And yet, the human element of getting infatuated with a guy, it remains. There are GMs, there are scouts who just see a guy, love a guy, whether it's his measurables, whether it's what how he pops off the page or pops off the screen. And even though there might be reasons not to draft that guy, whether it be injuries or character and things like that, they still think that they will be the organization that can make it work. In your experiences, how often is that really coming into a play? Like a guy who they fall in love with a guy. They used Johnny Manziel as the example in one of these academic papers when Johnny Manziel was drafted to the league.
Well, what's the question?
How often do you think that's happening? That the human so the idea is you have these metrics, you have the information
that says you should
trade down and get more picks for what you have, and yet a lot of guys. They're reluctant to do that. They're resistant to do that because this idea of having a high pick and going out and getting a guy, even if it might not be the perfect fit, they've fallen in love with the talent. They've fallen in love with the guy, and the human element of it forces them away from what the research and the analytics say.
You know, here's what I would say to answer that, Jen, and I'm not as smart enough to figure out analytics and metrics and things like that. But what I would say is, you know, I am fortunate enough to be able to talk to a lot of these teams, and I'm like, hey, how do you see these quarterbacks? How do you see these wide receivers? And it's unbelievable to me that I could talk to one GM who says, God, this Caleb Williams is the best. And I could talk to another GM that says, I got Caleb Williams as the third-rated quarterback. Or I could talk to a head coach that loves Drake May. And I could talk to a head coach who loves Michael Penix. Like, and I mean, it's sort of like walking into a bar. Why? How is it that people wind up with certain people? Like, someone's drawn to somebody else. And it's the same thing in this process. Like, there are coaches drawn to players and GMs drawn to certain other players, and coaches don't always see it the same. And I just think that's kind of the way that it is, as much as it is the analytics and metrics of the situation. That's a part of it that helps these people make their decisions. But ultimately, it's the eye test. You know, it's what the heart tells you, and you follow your gut and your instinct, and you move forward that way and make what you believe is the best decision. Whether that's a guy that you see something, hey, maybe this guy didn't have the production. Who's the guy from Baltimore that they drafted that had no sacks at Penn State? Adolphe, however you pronounce the guy's last name. I can't even do it, right? But he didn't have any sacks in college, and he was still a first-round draft pick. Well, they see something that they can change, you know, that they've identified. And sometimes they're right. And the Cleveland Browns say, yes, we know that Johnny Manziel may be too short, but we think in this system, like everybody on draft day, oh, you know, we love this guy and he fits. And, you know, it's all going to be hunky-dory. And sometimes it is and sometimes it's not.
Adam, do you have to sift through smoke screens like player personnel saying, hey, call Adam up and tell him we're thinking about taking a kicker with the third pick?
No, they don't use you in instances like that.
Just throw a I love smoke how he uses kicker like as that. The third pick as the example.
What was your first clue, Chewy? Was it the specialist?
They
the
don't?
Here's the thing, Chewy. Here's the thing. And maybe I'm being naive, and tell me if I am. But again, I've been doing this for 35 years. And I think I'm past the point. Like, the people that I'm talking with, these are relationships that go back years. So I don't think that somebody that I'm talking to all of a sudden is going to lie to me. Or, you know, a team calls me and says, we're thinking of going kicker three, and then they don't. Like, you wouldn't do that. It's like, you know what it'd be like? It would be the equivalent of somebody telling me, hey, here's a piece of information. You can't say anything. Don't say anything to anybody. And then I do. Well, if I use that information and go against that person's wish, now I've gone against what that person requested. Those people talk. Just like this GM called me and told me he's going kicker at three, and I reported that they were going kicker at three, and it wasn't it. Like, what happened there? Now, again, you can never – I just don't believe that people lie to me. I think that there are many times – they just are not fully forthcoming. They're not going to say, like, I'm talking to teams, and the Packers aren't going to say to me, oh, yeah, well, here's the number one guy on our board, and here's the second guy. If we don't get that, they're not telling me that. They're just not going to. But we can have a conversation about various prospects, about what's going on in the draft around them, but they're not going to lie to me. You know, if I say, if I could be on the phone with a team that has quarterbacks, I mean, you know, they're very surprised. Some teams will just tell you everything, and they trust coaches, that you're not going to say anything.
But coaches do lie, Adam. And I told my son when he got in the business of coaching, I said, first thing you better do is learn how to lie. Because they do. They lie flat out. When they recruit you in college, they lie to you. That's just part of what they do. And if you want to call it misspeaking or whatever, they flat out lie.
Listen, that's up to people. That's... I operate my life where I wouldn't lie to somebody. And I would hope that I would be dealing with coaches. I understand what you're saying. I don't think every coach has to lie. I don't think that they have to lie. I think it's better for a coach to be flat honest. Now, you can't say everything. You can't say to a player, you know, I don't think you're very good. You're not going to say it like that. But you can say, hey, Chewy deserves this job. He's been better today than Gabe. You could say that. You know, but I I personally, I don't like lying. And I think there are ways to do your job without lying. That's me. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm naive. I just don't think that that's necessary. You can be honest. You don't always have to be fully forthcoming, whether it's as a coach, as a reporter, as a talk show, whatever. In life, I wouldn't lie. I just wouldn't lie. That's me.
Only 13 prospects heading to the draft next week, Adam. It seems like that number has gone down more and more every year. Yet the NFL draft keeps going more and more popular. Why do you think there's only 13?
Well, I thought you were going to a different spot. And it's an interesting spot because the draft is in Green Bay next year.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, there are more and more people, I think, who are just saying, you know what? Why am I going to give up the biggest night of my football life and give it to the NFL when I want to be with my friends and family in my hometown or at my high school or with my college friends? Why am I giving that up? And to me, I don't know as much as I should about it, so maybe I'm talking out of turn, but to me, the NFL is going to have to get to a spot where they're paying these players to attend the draft. And if they're not getting paid, they're not going. Like, just not going to happen. And so this year, attendance was down. People didn't want to go to Detroit. So what's going to happen next year when it's even more difficult to get to Green Bay and they have to go on connecting flights and the hotel arrangements aren't quite the same that they are in Detroit? What's going to happen? You think that they're going to be more than 13 players next year? I don't. I think it'll be less unless the league takes a form of action where it says, hey, you know what? We're going to pay these guys. This is part of a major TV production with major ratings, with major television contracts. And these guys are some of the central actors involved in addition to what the networks are doing. So I don't know. I think that the numbers have dropped because I think there's a business element to this now. And I think the only way to address that business element is to address it in a business way. And we'll see what happens here coming, because it started out where it used to be. I remember I've been covering the draft since 1990. It started out, there were a few guys that would go to the draft, three, mm-hmm. four, five, six guys. And then it grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. And now it seems like it's going the other way, back the other way. And by the way, these guys in college, they're used to getting paid now. They're used to getting paid NIL money. They're used to doing commercials. So now, after they've been making money to show up and to make appearances, now you're saying, give us the best night of your football life, and we're not paying you. What do you do? We're going to fly your family. And no, your family, and you get a hotel room and flights. And I got to go to Detroit for a couple of days. Why do I want to do that for? And do, like, it's work.
Well, especially, Adam, especially now when you could put a camera anywhere, right? So you can be like some of the guys that Green Bay had in your hometown with all of your friends, the people who got you there, the people who supported you along the way. You can have a camera there. And, oh, by the way, I covered Dwayne Haskins' draft party, RIP, several years ago. He's got that big Panini sign behind him. You don't think Panini is paying him to be at his draft party? He was getting some cash, and he's not alone. A lot of guys go that route, but they get cash to have sponsors at their own hometown draft parties. And so you're right. Until the league starts making it a little more equitable in that space, I wouldn't be surprised if this trend continues either.
Yeah, that's where it's going. And again, with it being a little bit more challenging to get to Green Bay, with there being less regular flights to get to Green Bay, that trend isn't going the other way next year. Sorry, unless the NFL addresses it.
All right. Adam, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a very, very good weekend. Enjoy the draft. I know you'll be very busy. Can you get a little sleep before,
yeah.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Can you get a little more sleep?
You know, I actually got a call last night and from a GM, and he's like, I'm sorry, I missed the call. I woke up and at 1 in the morning, I saw I missed his call, and he's like, I'm sorry I called you late. He's like, I lost track of time. I'm like, Pollard, like, call me 3 in the, I don't care. Like, call me. Like, sometimes I just fall asleep. You know, like, that happens. I'm allowed to fall asleep.
Sometimes I fall asleep. Sometimes I fall asleep. Most of the time he doesn't. But sometimes Adam falls asleep,
we
guys.
We have breaking news on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Adam Schefter sleeps.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
All right, Adam. We'll talk to you again soon, man. Have a great week.
Have a great week, everybody. That's I'll talk Adam to you Schefter. From Detroit.
Our friend Adam Schefter, each and every week, brought to us by our friends at the Island Resort and Casino. And your total experience at the Island Resort and Casino includes two championship golf courses. Both are fun to play. I've played them the last couple of years. Stay and play packages are now available, but you need to book early to guarantee some of those choice dates. For complete information, visit islandresortgolf.com today.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You got to have a condiment with the bread.
Yeah, you want some sort of
alone.
Yeah, you want some sort of lubricant with the bread. Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
It's just necessary.
You follow
like, you don't want to just be sitting there eating like pieces of white bread with nothing on it.
Can't be going dry.
Yeah, can't be raw dog and just white bread.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The Bucks begin their quest for an NBA championship, and we're giving you the opportunity to be there. Listen to our show for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Game 1 later this week at Fiserv. Your first chance to win is later this week, so don't miss out on all the electrifying action, heart-stopping moments, and intense drama that is Milwaukee Bucks playoff basketball. Go to Bucks.com/playoffs for more info and tune in this week for your chance to win a pair of Bucks first-round playoff tickets to Game 1. Milwaukee Bucks playoffs are presented by BMO.
If you missed any of Adam Schefter's appearance here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, where he revealed that he does shockingly sleep during this portion of the year. Sometimes.
I feel that's a huge qualifier.
It is.
Got to make sure we get that in there.
You can find that on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcast. A couple of things we've had percolating this morning. Would you support a WNBA team in Milwaukee building off of the momentum of the women's college basketball season? Of course, the WNBA draft was on Monday night. I was looking for tickets for Chicago Sky games. Closest to here, you know, and a buddy of mine said, well, why not just get a team in Milwaukee? Oh, like it's so easy. Just go down to the store and buy a team. I guess some people can do that. Carrie and Mayville weighing in on something that Adam Schefter was talking about with the draft prospects not going to the draft. She said, I like seeing the prospects with their families and friends. More interesting. And just think of the missed opportunity if we hadn't been in Luke Van Ness's living room last year.
That's the other thing you can avoid by going to the draft, right?
Hands.
What, the ass
don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to worry about your family members wandering hands.
But do you think these guys get paid for some of the goofy outfits they wear?
Yes.
You know, like the, what is it, Oscars, Emmys? They all get, like, for wearing jewelry and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure there's some sort of, like, clothing partnership for some of these guys that happens.
Well,
absolutely.
And even Caitlin Clark was wearing Prada.
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't she wearing Prada at the
guessing
WNBA
she didn't pay the full retail price, if I had to guess.
For the Prada. We were also talking to Adam Schefter about draft strategy. And Justin weighs in saying, Jen, to your point about research and human element, I think one of the reasons Goody's last two drafts have been such a success is he got away from thinking he's smarter and can identify these diamond in the roughs. Dylan, Sternberger, and Josiah, for example, were drafted way ahead of league consensus. Lately, he's been staying in bounds. Going where guys should go according to the league. And your reaction to that, Gabe?
I don't know. We don't know what the league is thinking. We know what Mel Kiper thinks. We know what Dane Brugler thinks. But they're going to have their biases just as much as anybody else in the league is going to have.
Yeah, and Jaden Reed wasn't a third-round pick to anyone. Worked out pretty well, though, didn't it?
So you're saying he went out of bounds on that one. He went against the grain on that one. And he found one.
Nothing Goody has done in recent history has shown me he's changed his process or the Packers' process.
A lot of it, so much is luck. Put as much analytics.
Yeah.
You can't measure a guy's heart. You can't really measure his brain.
Well, you can measure his heart.
Is this a Disney tagline? Are you writing a movie? you can't measure a guy's heart.
They tried to measure Chewie's lungs. They're too big for the picture.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many busts because these first-round picks that go early think they've arrived and, hey, I got the cash, and they stop working, and they're not as hungry as opposed to a sixth-round pick that's got to fight for his life and bust his ass. You can't measure that stuff.
100%. And some of the research, and this is what I was referring to, I was talking about this Athletic article that came out, which was basically talking about draft strategy and how GMs and scouts and coaches sometimes still go against what the analytics say, which is that you should trade down to get more picks because the more darts you have, the more likely you are to hit the bullseye. This was interesting to me, guys. Across all rounds, the probability that a player starts more games than the next player chosen at his position is just 53%. the probability that a guy that you take in the second round at safety is going to start more games than the next safety taken in the third round, fourth round, wherever it is only 53%. They're playing similar snaps is what they're saying there.
Yeah, but I mean, again, so the problem that I had ultimately with this piece is eventually you have to make picks. Like, eventually you have to. I mean, according to this, every time it is your turn to pick, you are better off trading out of that spot. And, like, eventually you have to make the picks, right? So, again, to me, yes, sometimes it makes sense to trade out of that spot. But they use an example of, oh, Jerry, if you offer Jerry Jones $100 million now or $274 million next year, clearly he's going to take the $274 million. I think that's a false equivalency. These are all lottery tickets. Do you want one big lottery ticket and potentially hit on that number one pick and be the way that the Colts were when they drafted Peyton Manning? Yes, the Rams.
Or a bunch of scratch-offs?
Or a bunch of scratch-offs. Yeah. Yeah, the scratch-offs might be able to win you some money, but it's all lottery tickets. That's what we're talking about because you don't ever really know. It's all kind of a crapshoot. Eventually, you have to make the picks.
That's why we love it so much, to be honest with you.
Oh, well.
Because there's so many other variables and dynamics.
Some more than others.
I'm not betting on the draft, if that's what you're insinuating. Are you really?
Of course he is.
Are you getting good odds?
Yeah, Braylon Allen was like an 80th overall pick, 87 or something. I smashed that over. That guy's going in the hundreds, easy.
Sounds like Jen, Gabe, and Chewy may have a gambling problem. Gabe,
you have
are
an
you
interest.
Next?
My next? You're the one. I'm the only one who's never really taken a big swing with gambling.
Oh, come on. You're on the golf course, money changing hands all the time.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, don't try and pull a fast good one over point. There, Gabe.
I really like having Josh here on. He hangs out with you on the weekend, gets all the dirt. He brings it to the forefront on the air.
I've never actually gambled with Gabe. I just know golfers.
It's been around one or two of us.
We got more Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this. Stick around.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.